The following message is presented by The Upward Look. For more information, go to the website www.upwardlook.org. Now, the message.
Acorn becomes that huge tree, grows into that big tree. And then, of course, around my house, I have a few pine trees, and I'm picking up pine cones, and to think of that little seed of a pine cone growing into a very tall tree. We also think about a small band of disciples that in Jesus' time was a very small handful of people that have grown into the millions of believers throughout the world. It's amazing how things grow. When we look at God's kingdom, from the time of Jesus' ministry on earth till His second coming, what is God's kingdom like? Jesus addressed that in the parables of the kingdom. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like. And tonight we're going to get a glimpse of a couple of those, through a couple of those parables of the kingdom, of what the kingdom is like from the time that Jesus was here to the time He comes back again. I'm going to be looking at the parables of the mustard seed and the parables of the leaven, found in Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 31 through 33. The two parables here, as we've been thinking about the parables of the kingdom in Matthew 13, the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the leaven. And He presented another parable to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all the other seeds, but when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. He spoke another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like a leaven took and hid in three pecks of meal until it was all leavened. Two very interesting parables that convey very similar meanings as Jesus was talking about the kingdom of heaven. Let's look first at the parables, then we'll look at the meaning of the parables, and then the application. As we look at the parable first, one of the mustard seed, Jesus presented another parable to them, saying, and Jesus here in this chapter has been talking to the multitudes and talking to His disciples and sharing the parables that we've already looked at, the parable of the soils and the parable of the tares and among the weeds. And here He presents another parable about the kingdom of heaven. He describes the kingdom of heaven like a mustard seed, which a man sowed in his field, and from that very small seed became a tree or a plant that the birds could nest in. When we look at this parable, the man, the sower, is not identified, neither is the field identified like it is in some of the other parables. And we also note that Jesus gives no explanation of either one of these two parables, as He did in the previous two. These two, He gives no explanation, so we're kind of left to our own understanding of what they may be. But here the sower is simply identified as a man who sows his field. And he sows it with a mustard seed. The mustard seed has been proverbially known as the smallest seed or small seed that produces a bush or a tree in one growing season that can grow up to about 10 to 12 feet tall. This small seed is not the smallest seed that has ever been found by botanists. In our day, botanists have found a whole lot smaller seeds that grow into plants and to large plants. But in Jesus' time, in the region that Jesus was at, this mustard seed was the smallest seed that the people of His time would be planting in a garden. So it was there commonly referred to at that time as the smallest seed. And here the mustard seed is is used because it does show the contrast from the beginning, which was a very small seed, to a bush. It's not a tree in the sense of a tree that, like an oak tree or a pine tree, but it is a tall bush that can grow up to 10 to even, one commentator said, even 15 feet tall in a growing season. So it's a plant that's large enough, obviously, then for the birds to nest in its branches. I was watching out my window yesterday, and the birds were out in the backyard, and there was a whole bunch of sparrows, and there were a couple of cardinals, and I stood there and watched them for a while, and wishing some of those birds would make nests in some of my trees, because I like that. But here, that's the basic idea of this parable. The small seed growing into a big bush or tree that the birds can nest in. The parable of the leaven, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of flour until it was all leavened. And of course, here the parable, we know about leaven, that a very small amount of leaven or yeast can be added to flour, and in this case, a very large amount of flour. One commentator said that it's possible that this amount of flour could feed 100 people. I don't know how the comparisons of the measurements occur, but it was a large amount of flour and a very small amount of leaven or yeast. And when the leaven or yeast is mixed in with the flour, it spreads throughout the flour until it changes the very nature and size of the dough. Patty sometimes buys yeast roll dough, and she sets it out on a platter, these little tiny balls of dough. And it sits there on the counter of the house, and as it ferments, that yeast makes that dough rise until they're big, big rolls. And of course, in the house, we smell that scent of the yeast growing. Well, here Jesus is saying the kingdom of heaven is like that, where a woman hides that leaven in the flour, and until all of it is leavened. So when we think about the two parables, what about the meaning of the parables? As I said before, Jesus did not explain these two parables like he did the parable of the soils or the parable of the wheat and tares. So therefore, we're left to our man's opinion of what the meaning of the parables would be. And as I studied these two parables, there seems to be some disagreement amongst scholars and commentators as to the meaning of and the interpretation of these parables. As I looked at it, there were two completely different meanings that scholars had kind of grouped into. And the first, which is the interpretation or meaning of the parables that I've heard most of my life, was the surprising impact of the kingdom. That God's kingdom started small, like the mustard seed, and almost invisibly, like the yeast and leaven, but it will grow large and impact the world. So is God's kingdom that surprising impact of the kingdom in the world? We'll look at it in more detail in a moment. But the second opinion or interpretation of this meanings, which I have heard before but not as many times in my life, is the fact that evil or Satan encourages false growth and induces false doctrine. And we can kind of see that coming out of the wheat and the tares, because the tares representing that false Christians and the false believers in leading to trouble in the church. But as we look at these two interpretations a little bit closer, we'll see it a little more in depth of their meaning. First, the interpretation of the surprising impact of the kingdom. That God's kingdom started small and almost invisibly, but will grow into a large kingdom and impact the world. One commentator says, while God's kingdom appears to start small, almost invisibly, we can take hope in the assurance that it's growing steadily and will achieve its promise, glory, and power out of all proportions to its small beginnings. Another said, the parable of the mustard seed underscores the small beginning of the kingdom from a ragtag group of disciples and its potential for significant expansion. As we noticed in the previous parables, Jesus explained in the previous parables and that the sower was the Son of Man, and the field was the world, and the seed was the Word of God. And some scholars carry that idea over into this parable of the mustard seed, the fact that the sower was sharing the gospel and that small group of believers expanded into a large group. Jeff Auer, who is was the president of Golden Gate Baptist Theological Seminary, wrote this. The parable's point is that small seeds produce a plant large enough for nesting birds, and the kingdom emerges in like fashion. A small, seemingly insignificant beginning with a band of disciples following an itinerant rabbi would result, or has resulted, in a huge movement of people around the world. The kingdom of God has flourished over the centuries as the gospel has been preached among the nations. Millions have responded, and God's reign has been extended in amazing ways. Stuart Weber, writing in the Holman New Testament commentary, states, Jesus' followers must have lost more and more sleep as the hostility of the powerful Jewish religious establishment grew. Jesus' mustard seed parable encourages them to keep up hope in the power of God to work through these humble instruments and its small beginnings. And I think as we look at this parable, that is a pretty good interpretation, that God's kingdom starts small, like the mustard seed, but yet grows into a large tree and a large kingdom. The kingdom of God, we've seen, obviously, how that small group of disciples grew into millions around the world. Now let's look at the leaven. And thinking about the same type of interpretation of the surprising impact of the kingdom, we have the idea of inward growth in the kingdom. Stuart Weber put it this way. The point Jesus made is that the internal dynamic of rising as opposed to outward physical organization. His kingdom will grow through internal unseen spiritual dynamic. The idea here is that God's kingdom is growing in the life of a person, and the person grows more and more in his walk with the Lord, and God's kingdom grows stronger in that sense. Weber continues, the change brought about by the king's coming was not military, not the political takeover that most Jews expected. Instead, the change the king caused was one that happened within the inner unseen person. Jesus' kingdom took spiritual territory away from unseen enemy. Jesus rescued souls. He did not capture land or a seat of civil power. Nevertheless, the message of the kingdom would pervade the entire world. The idea of it is a spiritual kingdom. It's an inward growth that we see, a spiritual growth that we see, and not a physical growth of a physical kingdom. Another idea of that is that it was an outward influence of the kingdom. Jeff Iorg says, Jesus was describing the kingdom of God as leaving an influence that permeates and penetrates with positive results. The kingdom of God is responsible for responsible to infiltrate and influence our world for good. Just like the leaven in the parable, we are small but powerful influences. We may be almost invisible, working behind the scenes and from a minority position. Nevertheless, as kingdom citizens, we should effect positive change on the people and the society structures that we encounter. Part of the thing that we see, and he goes on in his commentary in talking about how the kingdom of God has influenced the world around us, He mentions, among other things, that early on most schools were started as Christian schools, teaching the Bible and to the people, and that many hospitals around the world were started by Christians who were trying to care for those in need. And other things that we can see, how the church's kingdom's influence has changed our society for the better. And I think that's the part of the idea here of the outward influence of the kingdom. Not only does it change a person inside, the inside of a person, but it also changes the society that's there around us. Waylon Bailey, who was one of my professors at New Orleans Seminary, summarized the meaning of this parable this way. The parable of the mustard seed shows the outward growth of the kingdom, small in the beginning, from which the great results will grow. And the parable of leaven shows the growth of the kingdom within the believer and outward toward society. So here we've seen the surprising impact of the kingdom. The other interpretation or meaning of these parables is the opposition to the kingdom. That evil influences false growth and introduces false doctrine. So we look at that first, the mustard seed parable. Thinking about the false growth of the kingdom. And I want to read this. It's a little long, but I want to read Warren Wiersbe's comments on this. He says, since Jesus did not explain this parable, we must use what he did explain in other parables to find its meaning. The birds in the parable of the sower represent Satan, Matthew 13:19. Passages like Daniel 4:12 and Ezekiel 17:23 indicate that a tree is a symbol of world power. These facts suggest that the parable teaches an abnormal growth of the kingdom of heaven, one that makes it possible for Satan to work in it. Certainly, Christendom has become worldwide power with complex organizations of many branches. What started in humble manner today boasts of material possessions and political influence. Some make this parable teach the worldwide success of the gospel, but that would contradict what Jesus taught in the first parable. If anything, the New Testament teaches the growing decline in the ministry of the gospel as the end of the age draws near. Here I think what I see Warren Wiersbe saying is that as the kingdom grows in size, that not only is God's work being done, but we see evil working even in amidst of the church and the kingdom. We saw that in the parable of the wheat and tares, where the wheat seeds and the tare seeds were sown together and grew up together. And where the idea of false religion and false doctrine grows up together. And the idea that the birds nesting in the tree is seen by some scholars as the idea that evil comes and nests within the tree of God, in so that evil infiltrates the kingdom. And while the kingdom is growing, evil is still around it. J. Vernon McGee relates a similar type of interpretation. This parable reveals the outward growth of the organized church. The church and the world have become horribly mixed and has been real integration between man and the church and man and the world. They live and act very much alike in our day. We can be sure that the birds of the parable discourse do not speak of anything good, but rather they speak of evil. The birds are the ones who took the seeds that fell by the wayside. And our Lord said that they represent the enemy, who is Satan. I am afraid that Christendom today is like a mustard tree filled with a lot of dirty birds. So we get the sense here that as the kingdom of God grows, not everyone who is a member of the church is doing the kingdom work. We see evil infiltrating. And I think we can all say and know that in church history and even in our society today, how much evil is done within religious circles. And, you know, not counting religious wars of times, but just inside churches, how the bickering and the problems and the yang-yang that goes on that causes the strife and struggles within the church. And we see a lot of false teaching being taught in churches. You know, all you have to do is look at what's being taught in a lot of churches today that they may have a Bible reference here and now, but what's being taught is not the Bible. And, you know, and you can move that all the way to organizations and, you know, cults like David Koresh in Waco, Texas, a number of years ago. And I was near that, lived near that area in Central Texas when he was there. And he tried to portray himself as a Bible teacher. And he used the Bible quite effectively in his messages, his sermons. But what he taught was not Bible. He would pull a phrase here and a phrase here and a phrase over here and point it all back to himself and say, I am the Messiah. I am the one who will bring order to the world. And we know, obviously, if you remember history, what happened to that situation. Very horrible things that happened. And we see that false growth and false teaching being done in the kingdom. So we look at the parable of the leaven. It teaches, in a sense, that false doctrine that infiltrates the kingdom. Warren Wiersbe, and here again, this is kind of a lengthy passage, but I think it, in order to kind of understand the idea, I felt led to read this to you. Warren Wiersbe says, the leaven illustrates the inward development of false doctrine and false living. Throughout the Bible, leaven is a symbol of evil. It has been removed from the Jewish homes during Passover. It was excluded from the sacrifices, and with the exception of the loaves used in the Feast of Pentecost, but these loaves were symbolized Jews and Gentiles in the church, and there is sin in the church. I'll continue in a moment, but the idea that in the Old Testament that we always see leaven with the idea of getting rid of leaven. You know, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the Feast of, when we think about when Moses was bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt, it was unleavened bread. The idea of getting the evil out of your life and being cleansed in that situation. And there was a loaf that was sacrificed or a symbol there that was used during the Feast of the Pentecost. But it was the idea that God's kingdom was not only the kingdom filled with Jews, but Gentiles and all of the world would eventually have the opportunity to be a part of God's kingdom. Jesus used, going back to Warren Wiersbe's comments here, Jesus used leaven to picture hypocrisy in Luke 12:1, false teaching in Matthew 16:6-12, and worldly compromise in Matthew 22:16-21. Paul used leaven to picture carnality in the church in 1 Corinthians 5, verses 6 and 8, as well as false doctrine in Galatians 5:9. Sin is like leaven yeast, and it quickly grows and corrupts and puffs up. And we find that also in 1 Corinthians 4, 18 and 19, and 5, 2, and 8, 1. So we see them in the New Testament, he's stating here that in all these other places, leaven is used as a symbol for evil and the evil that corrupts life. Wiersbe goes on, it would seem that making the growth of leaven in a picture of the spread of the gospel throughout the world would violate the meaning of this important symbol. It would also contradict the other parables. Satan has worked hard to introduce false doctrine and false living into the ministry of the word. From the very early days of the church, true believers have battled false doctrine and hypocrisy. How sad it is that in some churches and schools that were once true to the Word have turned from their truth to fables. And he quotes 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things, hold fast to what is good, and says, this is sound counsel. He goes on to say, the kingdom of heaven began with the sowing of the Word of God in the hearts of men. Much of the seed did not bear fruit, but some were fruitful. Satan opposed the work of God by sowing counterfeit Christians, by encouraging a false growth, and by introducing false doctrine. It would seem that Satan is winning, but the test is at the end of the age, not during the age. So here we see Wiersbe saying that the idea of leaven spreading through the flour is the idea of evil infiltrating the church, the kingdom of heaven. J. Vernon McGee seems to agree with that basic idea, and he says, nowhere is leaven used as the principle of good. It's always a principle of evil. False teachers in every description put leaven in the meal and the Word of God. This parable teaches that the intrusion of wrong doctrine into the church will finally lead to total apostasy. So we see here in this idea of leaven as being seen as evil that infiltrates the kingdom of heaven. So like the parable of the wheat and tares, where you have the Christians growing up and living and working and being around non-Christians, the idea of false believers growing up with true believers. And here in this interpretation of the leaven, the idea that the false doctrine and teaching infiltrates the kingdom of heaven. So we see those two differences of opinions on how the meaning of the parable is. That idea of the surprising impact of the kingdom, that God's kingdom makes from a small beginning to impact the world and society and the growth of the kingdom. But we also see the opposition to the kingdom, where evil infiltrates God's work. Which of those two meanings was the meaning that Jesus really intended for it to be? I don't know. Honestly, I've been wrestling with that for about a week now, trying to figure out which way I lean toward in the two different interpretations. I see validity in both of them. But as we talked about, parables, for the most part, have one meaning. I'm going to leave you with the idea of wrestling between those two interpretations, those two meanings. For I've not come to even a conclusion in my own life. But I will say this, there are some applications that we can pick out of these meanings. How does it apply to where we are right now? First, the impact of God's kingdom, the surprising impact of God's kingdom. God's work in His kingdom is expanding and having an impact. Where the gospel is lived out, the kingdom is openly expanding in culture. Positive things are happening in the world. The idea here is that we are to live out God's kingdom, God's work in our lives, and help grow God's kingdom. That as we live, we are to live out God's work in our lives. Realizing that it is the power of God that changes people, but we are to show and share that experience of God's work. Waylon Bailey listed a couple of applications here. He said, first, that it's easy for disciples to be impatient with the growth of a class or a church or the kingdom as a whole. And isn't that true? We get so impatient. We want to see our church grow, our class grow, or our God's work grow. And we do. We get very impatient. But we see a very little narrow spot in time. We do not see the growth of through eternity and over a period of time. So we need to be patient with God's work. He also talks about the fact that great results generally start with small beginnings. And, you know, we see that over and over again, how small work of God's kingdom will impact a great number of people. You know, I was thinking about Daniel today, and the idea that I wonder how many folks, as they taught Daniel from children, you know, through his teenage years, would think that he would have their teaching and working with Daniel would send him overseas for 2 months of the summer on mission experiences. You know, we never know the result of what we're doing in God's kingdom work. Wayne Bailey goes on to say, and as we said a moment ago, disciples then and now should have patience, exercising faith, keep on praying, and keep on working. The idea that things start small and grow. The mustard seed shows that the work of Christ happens by implanting from without, that man can never think or talk his way into the kingdom's work. It's God's work. And the power of God works within us in changing our lives. We must not lose hope. Instead, we must keep doing God's work. Then when we think about the idea of the opposition to the kingdom, a couple of things that I wrote down. We need to be careful not to let false teaching into our lives, like the birds nesting in the tree and the yeast that infiltrates the dough. We must be careful with hearing God's word and learning God's word and testing every person that we listen to by God's word. It's important that we always test teachers by God's word. Second, we need to be cautious about who we let influence us. We need to be cautious about who we let influence us. That can go all the way from religious teachers or that we listen to, maybe on the radio or television or the internet, all the way to the books that we read and the music that we listen to. The influence of the world around us, how does that influence our lives? And we need to be cautious on what we put into our minds, whether it's by what we see on television or on, you know, whatever medium that you would use. We need to be cautious about what we let influence us. And lastly, we must stay true to the Word of God even when opposed by others. We must be faithful and obedient to God's Word. Let God's Word fill our lives and direct our lives so that it's His Word that is influencing our life and not others. So in conclusion, as we think about the parables of the mustard seed and the parable of the leaven, two major questions. Are you a part of God's kingdom? The idea there is that God has the kingdom of God on earth. Are you a part of God's kingdom? And if you've never made that decision to give your life to Jesus Christ, if you've never asked Him to forgive you and to come into your life and to be your Lord and Savior, let these parables challenge you to do that even today. That God's kingdom would grow in your life. And then second, are you doing your part for God's kingdom by influencing the world around you? Are you making a difference in the world, in your little part of the world? Are you making a difference in your part of the world? Are you spreading the gospel? Are you telling others of the love of Jesus Christ and the redemption that's there available? And that free gift of eternal life. So are you a part of God's kingdom? And are you doing your part to influence the world around you for God's kingdom? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the word, for your wonderful Bible and scripture that teaches us about you. And help us to learn from it. So that we might indeed, as part of your kingdom, influence the world around us. And Lord, we pray for those who are not part of the kingdom, that this would be the time and that we could share how they too can become a part of God's kingdom. Help us to honor you with our lives, that others may see Jesus in us and glorify the Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
The preceding message was presented by The Upward Look. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or The Upward Look, go to the website www.upwardlook.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.